evangelist comes to the end of the service and says, does anyone need prayer? Come forth. And the altar is full of people, and Porfilio gets in line, and they have a line, and finally Porfilio gets his turn to get prayer. And the healing evangelist goes, hermano, how can I pray for you? And Porfilio says, preacher, I need prayer for my hearing. And so the evangelist puts a finger in one ear and puts his hand on the other on top of his head and begins to shout and holler and pray. And after a few moments, he removes his finger and his hand and he goes, brother, how's your hearing now? And Porfilio says, I don't know, sir. My hearing's not until next Wednesday at the courthouse. How many know he got blessed, though? Yeah. He got baptized with a bunch of spit on him. Amen. I want you to discover your, some of y'all are saying, that ain't funny, Pastor. Yeah, it is. I'm kidding. I want you to discover how to unwrap your spiritual gift from God today. A spiritual gift is something given by God so it can give you a supernatural ability to advance the purposes of God in your life today. God has given you at least one spiritual gift in this room, if not more, right? Amen. So hit your neighbor and go, neighbor, you have one gift. At least one gift. And then hit. You can hit them back and go, so do you. Amen. Yeah, yeah. There needs to be a birthing. And this could be that day that God gives you the new assignment that you have in your life. This could be that day, that connection point where heaven meets earth. And y'all, the thought of God saying, this is the assignment I'm giving him. So all it takes is receptivity. You're hearing right now the word of God, okay? You heard, as the worship arose and you worshiped God, God was dealing with some of you in this room. And God wants to speak to all of us in this room and give you that assignment that he has for us. How many of you like to receive good gifts? Amen. Yeah, you're lying if you don't. Amen. Some of y'all, we go crazy. And we want those gifts of the bow and the, you just, we served a pastor in Corpus Christi called Pastor Fred and Linda Zumalt. And he's like a father in the Lord to me. He's now in heaven. But that man and that lady, Linda, that they're our pastors, they knew how to get good gifts. They gave us so many gifts that were real personalized, the bow and the thing. They went out of their zone and just were so extravagant in their giving to us. And I thank God for that example. A couple of us have followed them, and we've been part of their church. Now we're in San Antonio that are part of this congregation. But they set an example, a high bar on, this is how you get gifts. I think they're kind of like God, because God would give you the very, very best. We should want to receive God's gifts. Amen. We should love to receive from our Heavenly Father. Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. Because Heavenly Father has something good for all of his children. Amen. And so I'm glad to receive your gifts this morning, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah, bring them on, Lord. Amen. I'm ready for them right today. There are a few good gifts, and they're in your Bible today. These are three primary ones, I think, that are biblical. Number one is this. Somebody say eternal life. Eternal life. And of course, it stands alone. You never want to do life without Jesus and having him in all of your eternity. Amen. Hell was never created for anyone in this room, or your neighbor, or your son or daughter, or people in the penitentiary. Hell was never created for any. Hell was created for the devil and his imps. We choose to have hell in our life if we choose to walk away from God. But this day, we want eternal life. And that's why in Romans chapter 6, not on your handout, but on the big screen, it says this, for the wages, that's something to be paid, right? You got to pay the wage. The wages of sin is death. In other words, if you sin like I sinned, and no one's perfect in this, anybody levitating yet? No, everybody's just, we're going to have to pay for it. We're going to have to die. But the gift of God is what? Thank God for Jesus and what he did. He says, no. They ate a whole bunch. They ate, you know, they're not going to have to wash dishes. Here's my check debit card. Put it on my tab. But it was going to be hell to pay. And the mercy of God, Jesus, the kindness of God came and intercepted and said, no, I'll pay. Jesus, that's how much Jesus loves you. He wants to be part of the family. As much as I say that, I know that the gift of God of eternal life can't be earned. I can't read the Bible enough. I can't go to church enough. Because if that was the equivalent of being a good boy, the chairs on the front row would be all saved. Because they're always here at church. And they're on the best behavior. They never move, right? And so I can't earn this thing. As much as I read the Bible, I tithe. You know, that's not what it's about. The gift of God is given by the grace of God. Yeah, it's given because of the kindness of God. I'm still a son. I may have misbehaved Friday night, Saturday night, Thursday, just like some of us in this room, but we're still the son. Amen. See, we love God so much that we begin to obey him.
That's right.
I love my heavenly Father. Father, I want to look just like you. I want to behave just, I want to be the apple of my daddy's eye. How about you?
Amen.
That I'm acting just like him. I'm not being chief lao. How about y'all?
Amen.
Well, does that mean I got to keep earning it? I wish, you know what, the grace of God again. I don't have to earn it anymore. I just love God so much that I'm going to act like God. I'm going to behave like God. I'm going to love. I'm going to fall in love with God. I'm going to obey his commands because I do it out of love. How about you? Would you join me in that? Yeah. The second gift that is primary is the Holy Spirit. Jesus gave another gift. And he says this in Acts chapter 1, verse 4 and 5 on the big screen. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for my gift, my Father promised, which you've heard me speak about, for John baptized you with
water. That's
when you got saved. Remember, the old man rose up. You went in dry, but you came out wet. And now it's a symbolism of just salvation. But in a few days, here it goes, you're going to be baptized with the
Holy Spirit."
Yeah, Jesus knew that his disciples and you and I could not be effective until the Holy Spirit resides and overflows in our lives, right? So next Sunday, I'm speaking about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to preach God's word to you. It's going to be a smoker, so you got to be here. Give me a good amen. Don't lie and say, "I'm going to be here." Amen. You can amen. Lie in church. You lied in church before. Amen. You're going to be here. That means you amen. So, I mean, I better show up now. I'm a liar. Amen. Spirit, the final gift that I believe is primary, which will go today, is somebody say spiritual gifts. It's a divine enablement. And there's confusion and doctrine that has gotten to the church. And some camps say spiritual gifts are no more. They died away with the last of the apostles. God gave them those so they could perform the signs, wonders, but they're no longer on the earth. And my rebut to that is God still does miracles. And Jesus is still in the office. He's still doing miracles. The great physician hasn't left. And everyone in this room is going to need a miracle. And when we need that miracle, I'd rather be on the side that believes in them than doesn't believe in them. And so, even if he did one miracle since the last apostle, that means it's still active. And I know he's done a miracle in my life. How about you? I'm a walking miracle today. Amen. So God still does miracles. And so if we should have the gifts from God, we should desire them. But there's been this abuse and the way we've packaged this one gift out of all of the 27 gifts. Some say there's even more than that in the Bible, but at least there's 27 that are mentioned through the New Testament. We've this package, this one gift that we kind of make it like, "I don't want that one." And that's tongues because of the way it's been packaged. Or it's been so abused in the sense that we stay away from it. And God doesn't want all of our gifts. All the gifts of God should be desired.
Amen.
Not one over the other. There's a balance. "Well, I want that one." No, you should want them all. And God will give you them. Amen. But there's a balance. Thank God for the balance. We're not weighing one or the other. And so the packaging has turned people off. And so I would love to have the gift of faith. Yeah, that's a good one. I would love to have the gift of healing. I would love to have the gift of mercy. That tongues one, no, that's when y'all pull out the snakes and they start biting people and we start shaking. No, it's not about that. There's a balance. It's just one of the gifts. Amen?
Amen.
And so let's look at the Bible the way it's written and not go, let's stay down the line, amen, and walk with God's word. His precepts are our precepts today. We're going to be a Bible-believing church, right, everybody? In 1 Corinthians 12:7, the New Living Translation, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. Isn't that good? That means you and me, right? And so it's so we can have spiritual entertainment, go wild in church. No, look what it says. We're to help each other. You use your gift to help people within the body. Amen? And you use it to bring clarity. When I was praying this week, I know an individual in our church that's going through something, and as a pastor, they look towards guidance. And so I've been praying, asking God, show up, help this situation, because it looks impossible in the natural. And right when I was asking God dropped a good word for me into my heart so I could give it to that individual. And I'm going to talk to him. I'm not going to proclaim it to the whole church. I don't need to do that because the council was private. But I am going to share it. It's going to be a moment that I know God is going to show up, because it was like a light clicked for me for that person. Amen? And so thank God for it. Right, everybody?
Amen.
In the Old Testament, get this, there were a few select people that got used by God. High priest, you know, these greats in the Bible, Moses, Abraham. But they're the ones that usually wrote the letters in the Old Testament, or the books. In the New Testament, the day of Pentecost came and everybody got gifts. And that includes you and I.
Amen.
To the Jewish people, they were a little bit shocked that non-Jews had the gifts also. They said, hey, who are these? These are Mexicanos. These are Chinese people. Why did they get them? Well, God loves everybody, right, everybody?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're everybody? Give me a good amen.
Amen.
The church of all flavors. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Yeah, 31, amen. Give me more. Give me more, Jesus, right, everybody? When the early church completed the course that it was on, they started doing things that were away from the Bible. So they thought of names like that were terms that were given to leaders. And they thought of this one name that's not in the Bible called clergy. And clergy means one to read. They read. And we hire a professional minister, and he has all the gifts, and he's to do the work. And that wasn't so. It's not that's not in the Bible. It's a name that they came outside of the Bible. There's also a name, layman, and that's all they did. They laid around. They called laity. And we don't want any laymen in this room, right, everybody? We want to be active in our faith. In the 1500s, as time marched on, and I know y'all weren't born back then, right? But we remember history tells us that this Protestant Reformation happened. And the main thing about that, they discovered this truth, that there's this thing called the priesthood of all believers. That means that you and I, we're the priesthood. We're all believers here in Jesus' name, right? So the priesthood was that you would be used by God. It took the professional, but it took everybody. Do y'all understand that today? And so God gave the power back, and they began to emphasize that to all the believers, that you could do the work of God. That it wouldn't just be the Sunday morning thing that this guy would come up and talk and give 3 points in a poem. You would take that home on Monday and say, I'm only a Christian on Sunday. No, you would live it. You would be the minister at your workplace. When I go to your workplace and I invite people to church, or here's my pastor, he's inviting you to church. They go, yeah, that's nice. He's doing his job. But if you invite people to church, your neighborhood, your workplace, you're the real McCoy, man. You got the goods. You understand? Yeah? You don't have, you see, they're giving me a paycheck sometimes to do this, right? But if you're doing it because you love God and you're being the light that you need to be, that's the Christian. That's God working through you. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what I'm after today. How about you? Yeah?
Amen.
God has an assignment for you. It's in a unique plan. God has a plan for your life. Every one of us in this room, you're not accident in this room today. God within you solves a problem for somebody else because of the gift within you. Listen to me, young person. Everyone in this room, mature person in this room, you've been given something by God that's so unique, so special, and it's to solve a problem. It's to help somebody. Everything that God does is not by accident. You know, eyes were given to us so we could... I have my eyes. Oh, that's easy. I got a hand so I can grab something and hold on to something. I'm thankful for a dentist today. Because a dentist will help my teeth get right, right? There's a doctor will give a physician that gift that's been given me. I get healing through a doctor at times, yeah, today. Amen. And so an entertainer will solve the point of an athlete or an artist, a rock star, a country and western star. Amen. He solves the problem of entertainment. There's an answer there. There's a gift. With every gift that's given is to solve a problem. Amen. Are y'all with me this morning?
Amen.
I don't want to talk about the Baptists in this. Is everybody with me in this Episcopalian church?
Amen.
They got on me for talking about the Baptist people, so I got to keep it low. Amen. I don't think there's any Episcopalian in this church because we'd have Episcopalian money. Give me a good amen. Amen. Ha. Amen. So what makes living faith great? We serve a great God.
Amen.
All of us serving God together, amen, make God great together, amen. And all the gifts that come together in this house when we serve God causes something that God works through the earth and works through our community because everybody came together. I'm going to show you a picture in a moment about that, and you're going to be blessed today. And so my best definition of a spiritual gift is this, and I think it's in your handout. If it's not, it's on the big screen. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that's given by God to each of his children. So together we can advance his purposes in the world today. Right, everybody?
Amen.
It's something supernatural. It's not you, it's God in you doing something. But when you do it together with people, there's nobody alone doing something. When you do it, when I hook up with your gift and you hook with my gift and we hook up with somebody else's gift in this body, we function better and we advance the purposes of God. You can do it alone, but it's going to be hard. Thank God for the miracle of a local church today. Amen. Everyone needs, and if this isn't your church, find one. Irma and I can recommend at least five of them that we would love to tell you, hey, this pastor's awesome, this pastor's awesome, this pastor's awesome. Amen. Some of you will find them because you search the web. Amen. But if this is your church, plug in, connect together so God will accomplish the purposes of God in this room. Amen. Together? We connect together. During World War II, there's a great statesman, great leader named Winston Churchill. He wasn't perfect, but boy, was he a great leader for his nation of Great Britain. And he had to speak to the coal miners of his day because many of them were giving up their jobs because they were thankless, they were dirty, they were filthy when they came out of those. And they wanted to join the military service, many of these men, because they were those who would become heroes. They were fighting for their nation's pride, so to speak. And so coal started depleting because they were quitting by numbers to go into the service, the ranks. So Winston Churchill gathered them together and he began to speak to their lives and he told them the importance of what they were doing. And he painted a picture at the war's end in this speech. He said, "How will it be at the end? There will be a grand parade to honor all the ones that have served. First will come the Navy. And the Navy, the fleet that defeated the other ships on the high sea, we will salute them and we will celebrate them. Next will become the brilliant pilots that battled in the Air Force and shot down the Nazi regime and overcame the enemy in the air. Next will come the soldiers that marched on the front line and saved our nation land and saved our children, and we'll salute them. Lastly will come the coal dust miner covered in dust, the miners with their caps on. And these are critical days," he said. "And they will say this, the thousands will respond, 'You coal miner, we were in the earth and our faces were to the coal, and we will march on and we cut coal, and that's how we saved our nation today.'" And they say that there were tears in the coal miners' faces that were running down them because they marched back into the coal mines and did what their task was supposed to do. Today, I want to celebrate and salute the dream team of Living Faith Church, because every week, someone cleans this church. Someone cleans the platform. Someone cleans the other building to make ready for our children. Somebody works behind the scene and keeps the books because they have skill to do that. Somebody does something financial to make sure that bills are paid. Someone does these jobs that no one ever applauds them, but you know how critical they are to keep us going? Do you know how critical it is right now that somebody is teaching a child in children's ministry and equipping them and showing them that they can love Jesus just like you do in this room? You know how somebody's taking care of you right now in this church for safety, making sure that your cars are okay and they're taken care of. They're out there in the hot sun and it's real hot. May is coming, June is coming today. And when it's all said and done, in heaven one day, there will be a grand parade the same way. And all will line up in heaven and they'll be saying, thank you, Jesus. Because of you, I was able to sit in church. Because you served and my baby was with you, you held my baby, I was able to listen to the message of God today. Amen? And so all of us can contribute. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the fulfillment of God, gift of God in your life today. You're designed to be unique. Yeah. You're not a weirdo, but you're unique. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Yeah. In Romans chapter 12, there's about 27. They're not listed. There is a gift of exhortation. There's a gift of giving. There's a gift of leadership. There's a gift of mercy. There's a gift of prophecy. There's a gift of service. There's a gift of teaching. In 1 Corinthians 12, there's a gift of administration. There's a gift of apostle, discernment, faith, healing, helps, knowledge, miracle, prophecy, teaching, tongues interpretation, wisdom. In Ephesians 4, there's the apostle, there's the evangelist, there's the pastor, there's the prophet, there's the teacher. There's a bunch of them, right? And so Each one, even though there's many pastors, God's given the assignment for pastors to do their flock. And he's given teachers to do their teach. Give me a good amen. And their serve is given. And their mercy is given today, right? And so let's discover them. Understand the spiritual gifts. One is this. Discover that the gifts of God that God has for me today. Discover the gifts of God that he has for me today. You were endowed with special gifts. A special gift is not always your natural talent. Listen to me. Or your skill set. When I was in high school, I took that test. I don't know what they call it. But when you're a senior, you take that test. I took it at Judson High School. My advisor met with me, which was just like my history teacher. We didn't have the select specialist. And so that's why we turned out the way we did. Give me a good amen. And he sat before me as I took that test, and he went over it because it was his job. And at that moment, I was saved to the bone, and I knew I wanted to be a pastor. And he told me, he said, according to your test here, he says, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be a pastor. And he says, well, according to your test, and he tried to talk me out of it. He says, it looks like you could do better like screwing bolts or screwing nuts at a factory. That would be a good job for you because according to what I'm seeing here. And I don't have anything against that. I've done that job. But thank God I'm not doing, that's not what I would do. Amen. And see, it wasn't my skill set. It wasn't what I was naturally gifted to do. God gave me a gift. But he gave the same thing to you. You may have been told you can't do something. And you have to say, no, this is the desire of my heart that God has put in my heart today. Amen. God doesn't put anyone on a shelf. He wants to use you today. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
The 27 gifts in the New Testament, listen to me, they're not exhaustive. I believe God develops people. I believe God, well, I'm a prophet. I'm, you know, I have the gift of mercy. No, you know, that's not what it's about for you to get a label your whole life and you go around, you know, laying hands on people and do that. Yeah, but don't stay there. Grow and mature in the things of God. You may not always do that. You may grow into other aspects of it. So there's more gifts that God would use for his glory through your life today. Are y'all with me this morning? Think about that. Selah, right, everybody? John Sprinkle is a great man, and he's in heaven now. He was our first elder. And the reason why I talk about John Sprinkle is because you really can't envy, because he's in heaven, right?
Yes.
He can't talk about his behind his back. He's in heaven. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
So I like using John. Give me a good amen. John likes it too. He's cheering me on in heaven.
Amen.
And John, you know, I wouldn't call him like a pastor, but he was used as a pastor because he pastored me for many years.
Amen.
His job, he pastored me. It wasn't that he was a young whippersnapper, get over here. You know, wasn't that? Hey, Nino, come over here. No, it wasn't that way. But he directed me. He pastored me. He had the gift of wisdom at times that I tapped into. He had the gift of discernment over and over in his life. He was a great leader. He had the gift of leadership. Oh, and how he exhorted, how he encouraged.
Amen.
Great gift, great man of God. I remember when John came to the church the first year that he came, he was driving this beat-up pickup truck because he lived in the country kind of off Tally Road when it was country back then. And he drove up, and that was his pickup truck. He had this long beard. Then I remember when he shaved it. And then I remember when he got the smaller car because the big pickup truck was just too big for him, so he got this Toyota Corolla, and he drove that. And then I remember when he couldn't really see, and I had to go pick him up. And I would pick him up to do journal. And then I remember when he was in his bed and hospice had come to say the... And he wasn't coherent, but when I walked up to him, I'll always remember this. It was like, a kiss from heaven for me. John hadn't talked to anybody. He was in that coma state, and they had him so, I guess, morphined up for the pain. And when I walked in, they had him in the back room, and Dorsey, his wife, took me back there. And I guess he heard my voice, and he woke up immediately, his eyes wide open, and he says, "Hi, Mario." And his words to me were encouragement, huh? He encouraged me one more time. When we get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to hear from John is, "Hi, Mario." Again, I said, "Those were the last words that you left me with, sir. Your gift allows you grace. It gives you the grace to do what you do. It's the kindness of God today. It gives you the grace to do your ministry." Yeah. You know, if I was back there selling tacos at the beginning of service and we raised great, thank you, Jesus, for everybody that brought it. We sold out, amen. And if I was back there baking bread like, you know, some of the sisters bake, I wouldn't be any good for anybody. You got to concentrate on your gift. What is it God has given each of you in this room to glorify God? And concentrate on it, amen. Focus in on it and bring glory to God on this earth. So there's a John Sprinkle 80 years later, amen. 50 years later, we're part of a great church that celebrates a life. Amen. That's why it's so important that you take your spiritual gift test. I've been asking you guys to do that. They're in the back foyer. I believe Howard Varial has some on the front row. You can get some at the conclusion of our service. They're done, and you can do this. And one sister said, "Hey, Pastor, do you want a copy of what I'm doing and what my gift is?" I said, "Sure, I would love it. Go make a copy," and we have a copier that will do that. You'll walk away. You can also take it online, which is great. But some of you have taken that through the weeks, and just do a shout-out. Today, I'm asking you to talk back. Remember in the Catholic Church, "And so be with you," and you would go back, "And also with you." You can talk back now. Has anybody taken their spiritual gift test and you know your gift? Anybody? You've obeyed Pastor, you've obeyed Jesus, Mario, amen. What's yours, Chuck? Faith, amen. That's a great gift to have in our congregation. We're called living faith, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Exhortation,
amen. What a great gift, Gina, amen. I could keep going around. I went and took mine. I told you last week it was pastor. And then this thing's developed in my life. It will What I've noticed is as you mature in God, things change. God adds more. So there's this thing called apostleship, amen. Thank God for that. That's been added that I never had in the mix today. Maybe it shows I'm getting a little bit more gray hair. Amen. Give me a good amen. All right. Keep me young. Give me a good amen. And so you're designed. How do you find your grace gift? Growing in faith. Amen. You take that class. You can do it this way. And you can also walk through that 6-week class that is free. You'll get your gift. If I was a young person in middle school and high school, especially, I would get that as soon as possible. I would take it online. I would go to the Growing in Faith class, because once you know this is how you're wired, the rest of your life you can focus in on.
Amen.
You need it. Amen. And it doesn't matter how mature you are in this room. You still need it. Go back and retake it again. That's why I love what King David said in Psalms 139:13. It says this, "For you created my innermost being." In other words, you're uniquely made. You're to run your race. I'm to run my race. And if I start admiring your shoes as I run, I'm going to lose the race. I got to keep going for my race. You got your race to run. I got my race to run. Right, everybody?
Amen.
We have our assignment in God today. So the innermost being is just that uniqueness today. That's why two people walked into the sanctuary and one person said, "Hey, that chair is crooked. I got to fix it." And they had to fix it. That's their gift. They serve. But another person walked in and they saw somebody sitting alone. And they said they had that gift of mercy. And they said, "That person shouldn't be sitting alone. I'm going to go sit next to them."
Amen.
Right? Two different people with two different views, two different gifts. Isn't that good? How God loves and equips the church. It says that you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. You ladies, when you go to the mirror, you go, "Man, I got this going on. I got that going on." You see, but you know what us boys do? We go up and we go, "Look at me." We're all fat. "Hey, look at me. What's that?" I'm glad David wrote this, aren't you? Amen. Your works are wonderful, and I know them full well today. And so it's time to get started, because it says in the last sentence, "All the days are ordained for me that were written in your book before one of them came to be." God has his plan for your life, but you know what? You take the pen sometimes from God's hand, which is a no-no, and you want to write it, and you want to write this, and that's why everything gets messed up. And God would say, "Give me the pen so I can write that love story." It's not a horror story. It's not a story of lack or shortcoming. It's a story of completeness. It's a story of goodness. It's a story of God's love towards you. But God wants to write your story, and all it takes is a willingness for you to say, "Yes, Lord." God's design in me reveals his destiny for me today. And it will be your destiny. The second thought is this. Are y'all still with me?
Amen.
Develop the gifts that God has given me. Your gifts change. You mature. You change. You may have began, well, one day, you know, I was just doing this and God's advanced you. Many of you in this room, which I admire, you're greeting people still after all these years. And you love. You're capable of teaching. You're capable of probably even preaching, many of you in this room today. But you're still greeting people. You're still loving people because you're still setting up tables. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Along with your pastor. And so in your age today, spiritually, never retire. In your age in the natural, never retire. Go after more. Stay hungry for the things of God. Right, everybody? I think I'm preaching better than you're clapping, but I'm going to take it. Amen. Give me a good amen. You're doing good, son. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is patting me on the back. 2 Corinthians 14:1 on the big screen in your handout. You haven't had any fun all day. Why don't you read it out loud, not out soft to me on three. One, two, three, go. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire. Don't give up on the dream of God for your life. He's given you a dream. Develop the gifts that God has given you. Timothy must have been a little bit timid, and they named him that, and a disciple of Paul. Paul wrote him a letter, and he wrote in 2 Timothy 1:6, for this reason, I remind you to fan the flame. Some interpretations say stir it up, man, stir it up. Somebody say stir it up. Stir up the flame. Fan the flame. The gift of God which is within you. And I'm so thankful that God didn't create one robot in this, one android in this bunch today to make us look all the same. God gives you a gift, and he doesn't just program you for Sunday morning and say, show up at Sunday morning, say amen, laugh at his funny jokes. No, God said, you know what? He gave you, he wants you to cooperate with his will. He wants you to cooperate with the things and have a desire to fulfill and develop your gift from God. So he doesn't make robots. He gives you that free will. Am I going to develop what God's given me? Am I going to do what God? Boy, it's quiet again. Amen. Let me go to three so you're not, we can finish up and just think, man, this thing's almost over. I finished already three times today. Amen. Number three is this. Use the gifts that God has given me. If you don't know Jesus in this room, get to know him. That should be your main objective. Get to know Jesus. Don't leave earth without Jesus. If you know Jesus, like I believe many of you do because you're in church on Sunday morning, then the one assignment for the rest of your life ought to be this. Use the gifts that God has given me. Every day, use every gift. Yes, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. I'll take one hand clap and that'll be a good offering. Give me a good amen.
Amen.
The reason why I say that is no one is guaranteed tomorrow. No one. Every day is a gift. And so the more that you use it, the more it offers back to God and brings him glory today, right? Say, well, how? Well, you start small, but you start now. What could you do? You could smile at somebody. That would be a gift. You could give towards youth missions this summer for a teenager to go. That's a gift. You could teach children. You could do countless things at HEB to love people. Amen. Not even within this house, and be generous with your time, your talent, your treasure. Give me a good amen. And so you start small, but start now today. Show me that picture, Daisy. Daisy's done such a good job for us. Isn't she a blessing? Amen. Thank you, Daisy. Amen. Little did she know when she showed up, everything was going to happen that happened today. But God did it, man, and she rose up and made it happen for us today. And you should have been at first service. This is the dream team that happened on Wednesday night. And we spent all your money on Wednesday night. To God be the glory. Amen. Yeah. They laughed at the first service. We spent like $450 because we have this fund that's designated just for outreach, and we emptied it out. We gave it all away on Wednesday night. We did it in the form of gift cards. We went to HEB, went to the gas pumps, we went to the grocery. We prayed before we went, and we went to Whataburger too. We prayed and we asked God, God, send us to the right people. We want the people that really need this, that will look at it with an open heart and receive it. And so sure enough, there were people, I said, and don't go looking, kind of be a secret shopper. So some of them had toilet paper in their basket. Some of them kind of stood off to the side at the gas pumps, not to make sure that they were going to get taken. Because everybody's kind of looking around at gas pumps nowadays, right? Am I going to get carjacked here? Is somebody going to take my phone? And so you lock the car and all that stuff. So we stood far away, And sure enough, we prayed, God, send us to the right people. Every one of them that came back, we testified on Wednesday night what happened. And here's the stories they told. They told stories like this. The person that received the gift, hey, I was down to my last $10 for groceries, but the card that you gave me will help me to buy more groceries. The gas pump was like this. I was only going to put $5 in my tank, but because of the $25 gift card that you gave me, I'm going to put $30 in my tank. And to God be the glory. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, but we have a first-time guest that was touched by the love of God through these special people, right, everybody? They came for the first time today. Let's bless that person. They were brave enough to walk in. See, your giving, your generosity, it proves something. It does something. It brings people back to the house of God, right, everybody? And finally, what I say about all of them, this is living faith. Look, there's mature people there. There's people that have gone to college. There's people that barely made it out of high school. There's people that maybe didn't even go. They got their GED, amen. There's young people there. There's older people there. There's good-looking people there. And then there's better-looking people there. Give me a good amen. But that's living faith. That's you. That's me today, amen. Look at the colors that are there, amen. I got a little bit of Chinese in me, amen. So there's some Chinese people, right? There's everything there, right, everybody?
Amen.
And so God's gifts are used to be invested. Everything that you do, that you bring, amen, is to be invested and given away. So God will give you more, amen. Peter says this in 1 Peter 4:10, the final scripture. Let's read it together out loud, not out soft on 3, 1, 2, 3. God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well. The generosity can flow through you, in you and through you. Thank God for it today. Amen. There's this backstory about everything that began at Living Faith Church that you kind of veterans in Living Faith know about that have been here for a few years. And the backstory is this, that when I was going into seventh grade to Kirby Junior High, because we used to call it Kirby Junior High, not middle school, I gained a bunch of weight, sixth grade, man. I was probably obese, yeah. And so I knew kids were going to be cruel because I got picked on even when I wasn't overweight. And so I thought, how am I going to do it now that we're going to this bigger school? Because everybody now, all the elementary schools were being fed into Kirby Junior High on Ackerman Road. I'm going to get picked on. I'm overweight. Shirts fit tight. Mama bought me these Husky jeans, amen. They put a rubber band on them, amen, that, you know, because it was just like, yeah, I was going to walk in that way, you know. And I thought, I'm going to get just picked on and beat up. And what can I do? So back then, the Kevin Hart of comedy for the world was this guy named Richard Pryor. And I got his album. And an album is this big vinyl thing, kids, that used to... And I listened to his comic routines, all the cuss words, all the filthiness, and I listened to them because we weren't saved. I listened to them. I memorized his routine, the way he said stuff, and I copied it because I knew when I went to the Kirby Junior High courtyard before we got the bell rang and we went to class that I was going to do stand-up comedy for all my friends, that they weren't going to laugh at me. They were going to laugh with me, and I was going to make them laugh. So that year, seventh grade, I became the class clown for the Kirby Junior High seventh grade class. And everybody, Nava's funny, hang out with Nava, he'll make you laugh. That was what they were saying. And Mario's so funny, he's a comedian. And, you know, and I was rolling with Richard Pryor. Thank God he made that album for me. I didn't get beat up because of it. Well, what happened when seventh grade was over, that summer before eighth grade, story of my life. I got saved. Someone told me about Christ. I went into a neighborhood Bible study, and Jesus, my pastor, discipled me. He mentored me. And he got so into me just during those 3 months of summer that he told me, you need to witness. And I believed him that you had to witness because your friends could go to hell if they didn't have Christ. So I believed. I went back to him, and I said, how am I going to do this now? I was still chubby. I was still fat. I don't have these comic. I shouldn't cuss anymore and use Richard Pryor profanity. And how am I going to do this? So I walked in eighth grade, and I didn't cuss anymore. I had my little gang, my friends, and we were hanging out, and I didn't cuss anymore. But I slowly began to tell them during that first week of school of Jesus, and telling them how Jesus had changed my life, and how Jesus had come and he cleaned my life, and just he was my security, my savior. I told them my story. And so I didn't know if it was working. And so one day I'm in the Kirby Junior High restroom. You know that little crack in the stall that you can look out, see, that you kind of want to cover up when you're... Anyway, well, I was in there, and they didn't know I was in there. And my buddy walks in that I had witnessed to. And then the other buddy that I hadn't gotten to, he got in there, and he was next to him. He says, man, have you heard... They were combing their hair. He said, have you heard Nava? Have you heard what Nava says? I go, no. He said, just hang out with him for about 5 minutes alone, and he'll begin to tell you. He doesn't cuss anymore. He doesn't tell those jokes, those filth. He speaks about God and how God saved his life and what God. And I was looking through that crack like that, and thinking, man, hope they don't see me. So I stood on the toilet seat. No, I did. And they walked out, and I knew that God was with me at that very moment. Now, if God can do that with this kid that's in eighth grade, that's insecure, what can God do in your life to give you that gift? And that's why I can boldly stand on this stage and say, this is God. Every time I drive up onto the parking lot of Living Faith Church, this thing should have not gone this way, because it wasn't something that was within me. People call, how did y'all do that? Well, it had to be. When I think of my marriage, on how good God's been to me to give me a bride like this, my wife, that shouldn't have happened either. Because, amen, God's been good to me. When I think of my children, on how good God's been to me in this church, God's just been so good to me. And so that's what we do. We bring our gifts back to God, and we say, Lord, they're yours. It's not for me. It's for you today, amen, to bring you glory and honor, amen. And if God can use me, believe me, he can use you today. There's hope for all of us in this room. May he continue to use you, Living Faith. May he birth something new, an assignment in your life to do what he's supposed to do in your life, to bring glory to his name, amen. Let's pray together in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the touch of Jesus upon Living Faith, Lord. We take the spiritual journey to know God, to discover his purpose, and to make a difference. Thank you, God. People were made for this hour. They were made to do the exploits of God today. Father, I pray that they would discover their spiritual gifts, because you have one at least for one of them, each of them in this room today, that they would develop what God has put within their life, and they would begin to use, Lord, what you've called them to use. Thank you, Lord. Lay your hand on your heart right now, everybody, everybody. And just proclaim this. Say, God's not done with me yet. Say it again. God's not done with me yet. God has more for you today. Yes, Lord. As we continue to pray, there are those in this room that you're far away from God. And if you don't know Jesus, the number one thing you should do is to know him as your Savior today, this moment. You're saying, I need God in my life today. I'm far away. Salvation can only be found not through good works, through something you've tried, or even this church. It's not joining this church. Salvation can only be found through the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. If you call upon the name of the Lord, he'll save you. He'll redeem you today. If that's you in this room today, a simple prayer, something like this from your lips, from your heart. Say, Father, forgive me. Wash me clean, Jesus. Make me new again. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for a new beginning. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, God meant it to save your life today. You're saved today. You're a child of God today. And he's going to bless you even more with gifts today, besides the gift of salvation today. Let me know about that. There's a connection card in front of you. Let me know. I receive Jesus as my Savior today. If there's a prayer need in your life, I pray for you every week when you give me those cards. They're gold to Irma and I, and we pray for you today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. This morning, I'm going to ask the Copelands to come stand and be with us today. And would you bless them as they come? They're our marriage ministers. They're going to